Well, good evening. It's good to be here with you tonight. Maybe it's almost summer. Maybe. But we did hit a lot of water yesterday at the camp. So yeah, be praying if you would. If you can, please try to make it out there one of these next few weekends. There's four left. And then it's camp. Actually, it's 4 weeks from tomorrow, right? I think 4 weeks from tomorrow starts camp. I hope you'll try to be out there. It's one of my favorite times of year, and I hope it's one of yours. And along with that, when I was getting ready to preach for this week, I really thought that the Lord had us to study on worship tonight. But as I sat down to pray and get ready and actually start just studying for it, the Lord brought me to a passage. So if you would, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, a passage that really has nothing to do with worship per se in our lives, but about us and our duty to raise a family, to raise a family. So tonight, I know family camp's coming up, and it's my prayer just to start getting our minds ready for family camp. And our focus on what does the Lord want to do in our lives this year at family camp. You know, we have so many young families here in the church. You know, we're one of them. And we want to raise our kids for God. That should be our desire. Not raising our kids so that they look good and they act well, but to raise them for the Lord. And that's really the focus of this message. We're not going to get into anything too specific. We'll leave that for family camp. But just to get our minds kind of getting on that mindset of what does the Lord want to do in our family this year at family camp. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for your word and Lord, how you have something for each and every one of us, Lord, in whatever stage of life that we're in, Lord, to help us be more like you, to help us do things the way that you would like them to be done. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with us now as we look to your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak tonight. And Lord, that your message would be clear. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to receive it and to meditate on it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to focus here on verse 4. We'll go ahead and start it in the first verse. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And here in verse 4 is where we'll be focusing on. But it's in the context of the family here. Children, obey your parents. But then he kind of has this verse here that the fathers provoke not your children to wrath. And I want to start by focusing on that. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That word provoke, it means to make angry, to offend, to incense, to enrage. Comes from Webster's. That to not be poking towards wrath, to not be provoking, to incensing, to be in the cause or kind of being the one that puts them on that path towards wrath. The Greek there speaks of exasperating or making angry. And what is wrath? Wrath is violent anger, vehement exasperation, indignation. A lot of big words. I'm not very good with big words. That's why I always have my dictionary on hand and my concordance and all that. But that word exacerbate, it actually has the theme of becoming embittered. Becoming embittered. And as I was focusing on this verse, I thought of how many young people that I grew up with, this is really whether or not they were provoked to that point, but they became embittered. They became full of anger against God, against a church, against biblical principles. And what I want to do as I read that verse is make sure that I'm not one that's going to provoke my kids to that point. All kids who get to that point, it doesn't mean that they were provoked. But the Bible's giving a warning here and saying, fathers, make sure that you're not the cause of that. And I think as a whole, parents, make sure that you're not being the cause of the reason that your children are full of wrath against God. So what are some ways children become provoked? Like I said, we're not going to get too specific. But I think of inconsistency. Inconsistency, that's something that's been taught a lot on over the years. And I'm so thankful to have grown up in this church where we hear often, you know, at least at the very least yearly at family camp about how to raise kids. You know, my whole life I've been going to family camp. I was about 3 weeks old the first time I went to family camp. You know, I've had a lot of preaching on raising a family. But all that preaching doesn't mean that I'm going to apply it, that I'm going to train my kids well, that I'm going to follow it because I'm human. And if it's not in my mind, if it's not the focus of how I'm going to raise these kids, my kids could grow up to be full of wrath, embittered against God. Am I going to be consistent? And I think of consistency in many different forms, in discipline, in service, in standards. Is the life that's taught in church about how a Christian's supposed to live the same as how I live my Christian life at home? You know, it leads me to hypocrisy, very, very much kind of hand in hand. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says that the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You see the kind of the hand in hand right there, that if a just man walketh his integrity, but who's blessed? His children are blessed after him. Why? Because they get to see that man, that father, lives what he preaches, lives what he's teaching. Spurgeon said that train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure that you go that way yourself. There's nothing more irritating to kids than someone who teaches something and then you see them, or teaches against something or teaches for something, and then they don't do it or they do it. I remember I used to work in a place where my manager was always telling me to do this, do that, but he never did any of those things. Remember that, Cody? I don't know if maybe I'm the only one who saw it, but he would teach us all these things, and yet our manager wouldn't do them. It would just irritate it. If he didn't do them, were we going to do them? Absolutely not. Not that that was a good example for me, but as a young guy, that I wasn't going to do them if the person in charge wasn't going to do it. And that's the same way in a family. If we're going to teach these things, our children are going to be watching. Are you going to do them? Are you going to be that way? I think of another thing closely tied to that is disingenuity. Are we genuine? Is what we say that we believe, is it something that we really feel? Do we really love God? Turn, if you would, to Psalm 78. The things that we say we believe, is there genuine love and fervor in those things that we do? Are they real to us? Are they things that we care about, or is it something that we've just been taught, so we're just relaying what we've been taught? Or is it real to us? Children can see that. In Psalm 78, starting in verse 1, it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." As you read through this, it doesn't just say that they were just to speak them. They were just to say them. No, they were to show them. And we see many other passages where you do have to speak up for what God has shown, what God has done, and we're going to get to that. But if we can't show them the works of God, our faith is dead. They need to be able to see God in their daily lives and his work through their family. I think of other things, unloving correction, bitterness. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Kind of bouncing around here as kind of the introduction. Just some things, just some thoughts of things that could provoke our children to wrath. Bitterness. 1 Samuel chapter 20. This is the story, and it shows here of Saul's bitterness that he had against David, and it got into his family life. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 30 says, "Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion? And unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness. For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." And we see this bitterness that was in Saul's life. And fortunately for Jonathan, he didn't stop serving the Lord, stop following after God. But it did cause him fierce anger later on in verse 34. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. Fierce anger. Because he could see the bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up to trouble you, and therefore many be defiled." And I was thinking on that verse. You know, we've talked over the years much about how bitterness, one of the most potent adversaries in the family, in life. That verse says, it's not just about bitterness against authority. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, make sure that you don't have bitterness against those in authority. But it doesn't say that. It says, lest any root of bitterness. Bitterness against anybody, anything. Church member, friend, family member, any root of bitterness. What's it going to do? Defile many. And often that's going to start at home. Things to watch out for. But why is this being taught here? Why is this so important? Turn over to Matthew chapter 18. We've been given a great job. I mean, you think about it. We've been given the ability to raise another generation. And often, I don't think we think of how big of a job that is. It's not going to be an easy job, but it's a very important job, and it's a very weighty job. Matthew chapter 18 and starting in verse 4 says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." If we think about, am I actively attempting to not drive my kids towards wrath? Staying away from things that would do that. You know, I just mentioned some things that could be. The Bible is full of things that say, do this, do this, do this, and there's a reason. But more importantly, this verse, I believe, gives the answer about how to not drive your kids to wrath, not to provoke your children to to wrath. What does it say here? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sure many of you have it memorized. Ephesians chapter 6, it already talks about how to combat this. In verse 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." So that's what we've been talking about. Maybe some things that come off the top of the head. But what does it say here? But, so in contrast to, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture of admonition of the Lord. And that's what I want to look at tonight. How can we bring up our kids? How can we bring them up? It's sad today that we have to even say that you ought to raise your kids. You ought to bring them up. You know, in this world we live in today, many adults don't raise up their kids. They don't build them up. They don't really have much to do with them besides taking them the places that they need to go. The TV raises them. The internet raises them. Do we wonder why there's so many outrageous ideas about what's going on in the world and how things work when it all goes back to an internet forum where it's just craziness being spouted out all day? I know I've mentioned this before, but it continually astounds me. The CDC says that on average, ages 8 to 10 spend 6 hours per day in front of a screen. 11 to 14, 9 hours per day. 15 to 18, 7.5 hours per day. The Bible has an answer why our world is so shameful today. And that's found at the end of Proverbs 29:15. It says that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. People wonder why their kids are the way they are. And the Bible gives the answer right there. It's a universal principle. Just because we might have our kids in church, you know, every service, you know, bring them to the activities. If you're leaving your child to themselves, they're going to bring you to shame. It's a statement. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We need to do the work in raising our kids. God expects that. Turn over to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. God expects us to do the work to raise our kids. It seems, like I said, a very, you know, easy statement, yet we don't like to do the work often. We're human. You know, we've had a long day, and it'd be easy just, oh, go do your thing. Just stay away from me right now. I've had that feeling before. But we're supposed to do the work. Genesis 18:19, this is God speaking of Abraham, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." It was expected for the Lord to bless that Abraham would do the work. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. To raise our kids according to God's way, it's going to be a tiresome job. It is. It's a tiresome job. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 6, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Pretty much wherever you are, work at training your kids, raising them up diligently, continuously. But what does it say there in verse 6? It first has to be in thine heart. Thine heart. What does that which I've commanded thee to do? If we can't train, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, we can't train the things of God if they're not in our heart. They're going to see that. It's going to drive them to anger. It's going to provoke them to wrath. It's a tireless job, but it is a rewarding job. Proverbs 22:6, we all know that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up. Don't just leave them. Do the work. So how are we supposed to bring them up? How are we supposed to train them? How are we supposed to do this tiresome job? Turn, if you would, again to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A verse that we all know very well, but that word nurture means, Webster says, that which promotes growth, education, instruction. I think of nurturing a plant. We were talking about the trees this morning, and they take a lot of nurturing. And I know when I started here, I didn't know anything about planting and all this, and Brother Doss mentioned the Wagners today, and we got to spend some time with Brother Wagner and learn about planting these trees and keeping them alive and doing the best, but it takes a lot of work, nurturing, that which promotes growth. It's we're working with these kids not to just keep them in line, but to promote growth towards the Lord. Bible says, we just read it in Proverbs 22, train up a child. How? In the way he should go. We have a purpose in mind. We have an end goal in sight, not just for the sake of just keeping them in control and kind of just trying to, you know, you have your hands full and just working as hard as you can. No, we're nurturing them. We're working with a path in sight of where we desire and where we know the Lord desires for them to go. That always has to be on our mind. Not just on the here and now, but where does the Lord want them to be and to go? That's the promise. If we train them up in that way, when he is old, he will not depart from it. We need to care about where they are going. I think of David with Solomon. We don't need to read it right now, but in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9 and 10, he talks about how, Solomon, thy son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. He talks about how the Lord had a plan for him to build a temple. Take heed, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. He had a plan as he was training him. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We see Solomon's side now. David taught Solomon. Now we see Solomon here talking about how he was raised and how he was wanting to raise his son. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, hear ye children the instruction of a father and intend to know understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. You see, this can be a cycle. We train our kids and they can train their kids. But it's with a goal in mind. A goal and a desire that they just retain the words, the commandments of the Lord. That's what we're training them up in. There in Ephesians chapter 6, it's not just bring them up and nurture them. No, it's the nurture of the Lord. The nurture of the Lord. It's all about him and what he desires to do in our children. You know, all these verses that we've been looking at and the passages have been about allowing them to see and hear and know the works of God, to hear the words of the Lord, to feel the love of the Lord. What is it about? It's about our children knowing that God is real and he desires to know them. That's something we talk about often in our home about you know, when whether it's in discipline or whether it's why we're going to do something, it's for God. We're going to talk about that, but go ahead and go to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. From the very beginning, the Lord wanted not only the people he was working with and working in to know him, but he desired their children to know him. We see that desire from the very beginning. And here in Exodus chapter 10, when the Lord's talking to Moses in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. Why did he want them to remember and to tell and to show what God had done? So that they could know that God, Jehovah, is the Lord. That's why we do this. That's why we train our kids. That's why we raise them up. We can point out God's works, keeping our eyes open and not just, you know, keeping them to ourselves and knowing, oh, God did that. No. Hey, kids, the Lord did this. Lord took care of us, pointing out God's works and in both his works and his judgments to our children, both the pleasant and the unpleasant. Why? That they may know that he is the Lord. Deuteronomy 32:46 says, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. Set your heart unto all the words which I testify among you. Observe to do. They need to know that God is real. And that they can have a desire, a relationship with them, themselves, with this God. You know, I think of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. From a child, Timothy knew how to be saved. Why? Not because his parents just told him how. Not because his parents worked with them over and over. No, because they gave him the scriptures. They put those scriptures into his mind, and then God put them into his heart. You know, I wonder. And I've been really blessed, I want to say, in the children's church, how many children are saying verses now. And thank you, parents, for doing that. That's a blessing to see them really working at memorizing scripture. I remember quite a few years ago, I don't remember how long, but I was teaching a teen class somewhere, and I just asked for some verses that someone could share about salvation. Not a single kid raised their hand. They didn't know any verses that they could share with someone about how they could be saved. And that's very concerning. Not that they can't witness to someone, but how is God going to work in their heart if they don't know what God's word says about salvation? And that was very convicting to me, to make sure that my kids will know scripture. Because 2 Timothy, or Timothy here, he knew from a child how to be saved. And if I want them to know how to be saved, I can't just explain things to them, which I need to teach them the scripture, but I need to make sure that they know the very scripture themselves so that God can speak to them, because this is his word, which is much more powerful than anything I could ever say. Training our kids in the simple things, scripture, his word. You know, one of the most valuable things this last year, I think, for the trees is having a better irrigation system. They're getting the water. And if our kids are going to grow, they need the water of God's word. They need to hear the scripture. They need to know it. They need to know what it says, but they also need to know what it means. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You could insert in there for training and raising our kids, for bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need Scripture. We need to know God's principles. They need to be, as we said earlier, in our heart so that we can train our kids. Let's raise our kids that not to be people that not only have a zeal of God, but also have the knowledge. We see too many kids who actually do have a zeal for God, but no knowledge. Let's not raise kids up like that. Kids that know what they are doing and why they are doing it. I have to apologize to maybe some of the teenage parents. On Friday at teen class, I asked your kids, if you have questions about why you do something, to ask your parents why. You know, we can see a lot of kids who feel like they can't ask questions because they might be judged. But they have a very real question. We need to make sure that we have that attitude that they are always able to talk to us. Because otherwise that's going to start this little confusion. And that confusion grows to be resentment. That resentment grows to be rebellion. And we, you know, I understand this. You know, my kids are only 4 and 2. But I'm already very sick of the question, why? But don't shun whys. Maybe limit them. She's probably not even listening, but she's allowed to say why once. Let's not have children that grow rebellious just because we don't want to answer why, or maybe we don't know why. That's just as bad. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Webster gives the definition as gentle reproof, counseling against a fault, instruction in duties, caution, direction. You know, it should be obvious that when training children, there's also going to be correction needed. There's going to be warnings along the way. Yeah, correction is another thing that's been thrown out in the world today, and we don't really need to, I don't think, dwell on this too much. But it's nothing new that parents don't love correcting their kids. Even though the Bible says if we love them, we will correct them. It's not something we like to do. You know, all the way back, Brother Custer preached on Adonijah this morning and how his father had not displeased him at any time. You know, it's nothing new that we don't like to displease our children. But throughout the Bible, we see over and over again, you know, Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. We read the last part of that verse earlier. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. That word chasten, it means to correct by punishment, to punish, to inflict pain for the purpose of reclaiming its offender. It's not punish just to keep in line. I've said that quite a few times tonight. We can have this focus on what people can see. And we can have this idea to raise kids that look good and walk the line and do all the things that they're supposed to do. But it's not just the admonition. It's about shaping them and pointing them to the Lord. Reminding them when correcting them, when chastening them, when attempting to reclaim the offender. Pointing them in the way, training them in the way they should go. That it isn't because you offended me or angered me or anything about me, but you broke God's law. You displeased God. You aren't following a path. You are following a path that leads away from God. Let's get you back on the path towards God. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. It goes back to the work. It doesn't take just a little bit of chastening. It takes a lot. And it can be tiresome. I remember when training our children to just stay in bed or to be quiet when it was bedtime, there was many times you'd stay at that door for an hour. But if you love your kid, you'll take that time. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he will give delight unto thy soul. Again, just like with the training, you see that the work is worth it. The work is worth it. To see our children grow up and serve the Lord. But it's something needed to note. We need to notice here in Ephesians chapter 6, as we get to the last point here. It's important to notice in verse 4, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's important that we aren't parents who only train and don't discipline. But it's just as important to be parents who, not to be parents who punish but don't train. We need to do both. If we're only the discipliners but don't take the time to raise up and train our kids and show them what God expects of them and what God desires of them, we could be provoking them to wrath. Or if we're ones who just train, and God wants you to do this, but there's never any admonishment, we could be provoking our children to wrath. It's both. We're pointing them to God, who wants them to succeed and desires to have a relationship. He isn't just a God of justice, but he's also not just a God of love. He is long-suffering, gracious, compassionate God, but he does have one way and his way, and they need to know that. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Moses had desired to see the glory of God. And God said that you could see the hinder parts of his glory as he passed by. And this is that time when that happens, and the Lord said he would declare his name. A great moment in Scripture. We may have read it recently, I can't remember, but it's just been on my heart a lot recently. It's Exodus chapter 34 and verses 6 and 7. It says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed," this is him proclaiming his name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation." Yes, our God is gracious. He is long-suffering. He's a powerful God. But he doesn't just let things slide either. We need to both nurture, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's finish in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Do we desire to raise up our children God's way? Or are we happy with just getting by? I hope we have a desire. I hope this, if anything, that this message would just bring out the desire to know how can I do this. We didn't give a ton of specifics. It's more just the thoughts and the ideas, but those will be at family camp. I know it. Can we take the time to really desire to raise our kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that we don't provoke them to wrath? So that we can at the end, no matter how things go or what happens, we can say, "I know I did what the Lord wanted me to do." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11 and 12 says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." So this is how we should be with our children. and how we should exhort and comfort and charge our children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That's our desire, that we'd see our kids live for God. That's my desire, and I hope it's your desire as well. And if it is, would we seek to know how, first of all, I can observe to do, how I can have his words in my heart. If I don't know why we do this, or if I don't know why we do that, or if I don't know how I should handle my children in this aspect or this aspect, that I would take the time to know so that I can do it while there is yet hope. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I don't have to wonder how to raise my kids. Lord, there may be questions along the way, but your principles will be in your word. Lord, we know that in there is all things that pertain to life and godliness, and you care about how we raise our kids. Lord, you care about them. You want them to live and grow up to worship you. Lord, I pray that we would be diligent. Lord, I pray that I would always just take the time to do the work, to show them your love, to show them your desire for them. Lord, how you are a just God. Lord, you are a holy God. And you desire for us to be holy. Lord, that you desire us to worship you, not only here in church, but that our homes would be a place of worship. Lord, that our lives would be an example of worship towards you. Lord, I pray that you'd use this to just prepare us for camp. Lord, that we would get there ready and already be searching for how you desire for us to live and raise our families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take a minute for a moment of invitation. If you'd stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. A focused message tonight for families. Good challenge. It was a challenge to me. Raising children for God is a great work. And it's not an easy work. Parenting isn't so much about a few big decisions as it is about hundreds of little ones. And they go a long ways towards shaping an eternal soul. God spoken to your heart, you come. Brother Nick mentioned a few times preparing your heart for family camp. It's an important thing to do. Spiritual preparation in general. Prepare your heart for God to speak to you. Want him, desire him to speak to you. Be ready for him to speak to you. Says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If it's possible to labor in vain, it's possible to labor not in vain. God calls us to labor. Parenting is hard work, but it's not going to be because of us that we have success. The Lord has to build the house, but we still have to be busy. Not be a parent, but But God might still want you to impact the life of a young person. How can He do that? Are you ready to do that? Are you willing? Turning your hymnals to number 846, let's sing a couple verses of that. Little as much when God is in it as a dismissal hymn tonight.